why we love the Song Dynasty, exploring the history and charm of one of China's most fascinating dynasties. Episode 18, Stationery. In this podcast, we're going to examine another aspect of the Song Dynasty's mania for gathering things, their absolute passion for stationery. I'm Bob Jones, and in this Why We Love the Song Dynasty podcast, I'm throwing the spotlight on what was to become one of China's most iconic dynasties in the country's long and colourful history. One of the joys of the Song scholars was creating a room of one's own, a study where they could keep their nice things to read and write and to contemplate the world around them. The poet and scholar Lu Yo wrote a poem about his own little den. I built a new little chamber in my house that can only accommodate one small table. I read at the window on the east side. When the morning sun lights up the room, even my dim-sighted eyes can read the small words on the book clearly. Hearing the clear voice of reciting when children joining in the study, I feel satisfied and delighted even when I am already in my declining years. When I hear the meal is ready, I will then close the book and leave the room. Note the Song tendencies towards learning or investigating, self-satisfaction, and nostalgia. Likewise, in Summer Day in the Study Room, the poet Zheng Gangzhong writes, "The days are so humid and torrid in the fifth lunar month that it feels like being steamed. But when I sit in the tranquil study room, the temperature feels just comfortable." He describes the view from his study. Outside the window is the West Mountain. Lotus and pampas grass grow beautifully together in the clear water. Waterbirds fly through the woods now and then, and the wind blows through quietly with soothing fragrance. The extreme happiness of reading under such an environment can hardly be understood by common people. What he's saying here is, lucky me. As you might imagine, now that you are coming to know our Song friends in greater detail, happiness was achieved by gathering together certain things. No study was complete without the four treasures of the study. These were the tools of the trade of any self-respecting scholar, namely the inkstick, the inkstone, the writing brush, and paper. The ink stick was a solid form of ink which needed to be ground down before it could be used. For that, they had to use a grinding stone, or ink stone. The stick was ground into a fine powder and then mixed with water to make the ink. This could then be applied to paper or silk using a writing brush. Individually, they were of little use. Together, they were unified to create pleasing results. The first inks in China were made of naturally occurring carbon graphite, the same stuff you find in pencils. It was sometimes mixed with vermilion to make a coloured pigment. That was fine for writing on bones or stone. But the use of paper for writing, it was invented by the Chinese around 200 BC, meant that they had to find something different to use. They found the best thing was charcoal from the embers of the fire. During the Song Dynasty, ink was made from the soot of charred pine trees and pine tree resin, as well as from the charred embers of other wood types. This was called soot ink or lamp black. It was mixed with ground-up bones, spices, and minerals, pressed and allowed to dry to form solid blocks. The inkstone was considered by ancient Chinese scholars to be the most important of the four components of penmanship, since a quality inkstone was the key to producing the desired type of ink. A high-quality inkstone was a highly prized possession. Inkstones have a roughened area for grinding the inkstick to powder and an inkwell in which to mix the ink with water. They are called inkstones, but they might just as easily be made of pottery, brick, metal, lacquerware, porcelain, and natural stone, which was the most favored material. People of the Song era prized their stones, just as people today show off their people carriers outside their home. And just like cars today, they had to be washed regularly, but carefully. You couldn't use hot water. It had to be lukewarm. Better still, they should be cleaned with tea and lotus leaves. China has a very, very long history of writing. Early brushes were probably made of animal hair, which is one of the reasons why so few have made it to the present day. They biodegrade really quickly. Where they do exist, these ancient writing brushes are regarded as rare and precious instruments forming part of the cultural heritage not only of China, but of the whole world. Paper is one of the four great inventions of ancient China, along with gunpowder, printing, and the compass. Its creation was a step change in the dissemination of knowledge throughout China and beyond. It democratized information to a massive degree. Before it was invented, people used all sorts of methods of making notes. Knots in cord, shells, and bones were used as writing surfaces, and metal plates and bronzes were etched with information. But obviously, none of these were as flexible as paper for passing on information. So the story goes, lighter and thinner paper, which was easy to write on and easier to carry, was developed by a chap called Cai Lun. He modified the existing papermaking process, making it from plants which were beaten to a pulp, which was then mixed up with water to make a porridge, placed on a screen and dried. It was a big technological leap to create efficient writing paper, even bigger, arguably, than the leap from paper to computers. But of course, the Song didn't stop at the four scholarly basics. The best kitted out studies in the dynasty needed more things. Handily for us, in our quest, they are listed in a poem, The Ten Chants of the Study Room by Liu Zihui of the Southern Song Dynasty. A penholder, scissors, call iron, a kind of metal stick sounder, a paper whisk, books, lion-shaped paperweight, although you could just as easily find them in the shape of rhinos, lions, tigers, goats, rabbits, toads, or even bixie, a spirit beast in Chinese tales which has the shape of a lion and has wings, not unlike a griffin. Jiefang, another kind of paperweight. They needed so many paperweights because the size of paper kept expanding. Some pieces were even more than 3 meters long. The 1,000-character classic in cursive script by Emperor Huizong of Song was written on a whole piece of cloud dragon-patterned, golden outlined paper of about 10 meters in length. A yandi, which you need to drip water onto the inkstone. A light stand or holder to allow writing late into the night. And finally, wooden pillars, which were required to support the writing desk, now with so many things on top. Needless to say, all these 10 things created the need for even more things. An inkstone basket. A book tube for carrying papers. A bamboo-made book container. A book supporter. A paste tube. A cutting blade. A card case. A paperweight ruler. And an armrest for your desk, to make it easier to write without smudging the ink. And so on, until you begin to realize that the Song Dynasty not only created our passion for stationery, but also created a whole new industry to cater for this new fetish for things. We've spoken before about how we know so much about the daily lives of the Sung. They left behind a wealth of writings and pictures depicting the minutiae of their existence. Of course, these artifacts are intangible. But we also have more physical clues to back up this essentially anecdotal evidence, and that's the discoveries made by archaeologists in the tombs of Sung rulers and scholars. It seems that the Sung not only liked to collect nice things during their lives, but also liked to hold on to them in the afterlife. And the fact that so many of these scholarly artifacts are found close to the resident of the tomb shows exactly how much they prized them. The Northern Sung Dynasty scholar Su Zimei put it in a nutshell: a bright and clean study, fine ink and paper are also a joy of life. Finding joy in life, as we know, was one of the driving motors of Sung society. No wonder they wrote so much poetry. And no wonder they collected so many lovely things. Special thanks go out to Sanlian Zhongdu for their help in creating the content for this show. This is Bob Jones. Thanks for listening. Join me again next time.